We are holding on Hofgimmel Amadeus fourth line. Okay, we were discussing, our Mishnah had mentioned that there's a disconnect between Torim and Bnei Yona, the two types of birds that can be brought as karbanos. What's kosher by one is possible by the other, and vice versa. Torim only the adult ones, Bnei Yona only the baby ones. So that brought up a discussion, hello? That brought up a question of Reb Zera, what happens when you have the intermediate stage, Tfilas Hatzihu, when they start developing yellowish feathers around their neck. Do we consider that it's just a suffix, whether they're a baby or an adult, or do we consider that's a barrier that's actually a separate kind of entity at that point? Then we discussed a similar question as far as a pilgrim, an animal which is halfway between being a baby lamb and being an adult ram,
right.
where they have different nesachim, and therefore you have a similar question with that, therefore, whether a kilgus is considered just a suffix, whether it's one or the other, or whether it's considered a beria, separate kind of entity. But now a third one. Now we're going to have a third case like that, where you have two opposites. We have two opposites, but you have something intermediary between them, and what would be the din with that? Namely, this is going to be as far as chomis versus matzah. So, okay. If somebody says, I'm obligating myself to bring the loaves of bread for toida, either chomis or matzah, now we've learned in Menachos that a toida consists of, you have the animal for the korban, and then you have 30 loaves of matzah and 10 of chomis. So what does he mean over here, either chomis or matzah, on the face that a toida needs all 40 loaves? We'll take that question up soon, but first we want to focus on the question, you have, there's loaves that are supposed to be chomis, there's loaves that are supposed to be matzah, what about the heavy seor? No, so we said 30 of matzah, with 10 of each of three types, and 10 of chomis. The 10 chomis ones we learned in the Nachas are larger. But anyway, the point is, if he says, I'm making a neder to bring lachme toga, either chomis or matzah, meaning Rashi says, he says, I'm going to bring 10 chalas of whichever kind I want, or other Mephoshim say, it means he's saying, I'm going to bring 10 estronim, because we learned in the Nachas that you have 10 estronim for the ones of chomis, and you have 10 estronim total for the ones of matzah. I mean, the ones of matzah are one-third the size of the loaves of chomis.
That's not an intermediary category.
Well, wait, no. The question is, there is an intermediary category between chomis and matzah, namely the heavy seor mahu. What about if instead he brought 10 loaves of seor? Seor is the intermediary stage between chomis, between matzah and chomis. It's starting to become chomis, but it hasn't yet fully become chomis. Now, there is such a concept as seor. However,
Not seor.
Yeah, it's easy to get confused. No, hello. Seor is sourdough. That's dough that's been left to rise for a long time until it's sourdough because it has a sour taste to it from the yeast and their byproducts and whatever. But you use that as a starter for other dough to make it hummus. Nowadays you use yeast for the purpose, but in olden days they would use sourdough, and even now you can buy sourdough, you can find sourdough breads out there. Anyway. That's seor. This is seor. Almost the same letters, but different. Seor is. We have this notion in Menachos, exactly. And in particular, now what it comes out is like this. You have a machlokes between Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda in Pesachim on the subject of seor. In connection with Pesach, obviously. Number one, you have a machlokes over there. What is the definition of seor? So you have like this. When dough starts becoming chomis, it goes through the following stages. First, it starts turning, first the dough turns pale, turns lighter in color than it was before. Then the next thing after that, if you leave it, is it develops little hairline cracks, like one here, one there. And if you leave it still longer, then it develops more cracks, and eventually the cracks run into each other. So when the cracks are running into each other, that's called sidruk, then it's definitely chametz. Then there's no question a person is chayav karis for eating it on Pesach, and if a person were to bring it as a mincha other than as the ones for the toda or whatever, he'd be chayav malchus for bringing chametz on the mizbeach. The question is about the previous two stages. So the Meir holds, once it turns white, then it's considered seor. Then when it starts developing cracks, even like one crack here, one crack there, he says then already it's chomis gomer. And the Gemara says there, the Meir says the reason is because when you have only a couple of cracks on the surface, it means below the surface you have a lot more cracks than that. The quacks are basically, because you have, I mean, you know, chemically what it is, what's going on is you have the yeast or eating the sugars and whatever in the dough and converting it to alcohol and carbon dioxide. So as the carbon dioxide bubbles out over there, which is what makes the dough rise, then you end up with cracks over there where it starts escaping. So the point is, your mayor's saying, if you only see a couple of cracks on the surface, it means there's a lot more cracks below the surface. Therefore, he says it's complete hummus. Rabbi Yehuda holds, no. When it turns white, it's nothing. It's still masa. Maybe fine. You shouldn't be eating it. Maybe a person is over on a lav at most, but definitely not on karis. And second of all, that when it has ketane chagavim, when it just has one crack here, one crack there, that's when Rabbi Yehuda says it's called seer. And he says you're not chayav malchus. He says you're not chayav malchus for eating it on Pesach. Karis for sure not, and not even malchus, he says.
When
you see one or two cracks on the surface.
Not commissaries.
Right. So that's the point. You have a double machloitus between Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda. Rav Meir is machmir over Rav Yehuda in two ways. Number one, that seer is at an earlier stage when it turns white, as opposed to Rav Yehuda holds that's nothing yet, still masa. And number two, Rav Meir says once it starts having any cracks at all, then a person is high of karis for eating it on Pesach. Rabbi Yehuda is makel on both of those things. Number one, he says that turning white is nothing. And number two, he says even when it starts having one crack here, one crack there, it's called ta'aneh chagavim, a person is not chayav malchus for eating it. Okay. So now the question is, again, this person said, I'm going to bring lachmei toda from either chometz or matzah. But now what if he brings seer? Then what's the din? Is he yoseh neder or not? Similar kind of idea. Is seer essentially chometz or is it essentially matzah? Is it maybe a suffix or what is it? But first, we have to define the Gemara's seer demand. Okay, but you have to ask, which Tana's definition of seer are you asking, according to? E seer de Rav Meir, do you mean Rav Meir's definition of seer, namely when it turns white, and Rav Yehuda, and you're asking what would Rav Yehuda say if you brought 10 loaves of the seer? What's the problem? According to Rav Yehuda, Masa Mal Yisir. According to Rav Yehuda, it's 100% Masa. You can even be Yotze, your mitzvah of eating Masa on Pesach with such dough once it was baked. So for sure, if you bring it for the 10 lachmet or 30 lachmet or whatever, then you'd be Yotze, your neder, because you brought 30 loaves of Masa. So what's the problem? Yeah. The Eid of Meir, are you going to say that it means that you're talking about Rav Meir's definition of seer, and you're going to say, and you're going to ask according to Rav Meir? Remember, Rav Meir's definition of seer is where it turns white. Rav Meir's definition of seer is where it turns white earlier than Rav Yehuda. But you're going to ask, what would Rav Meir hold if you brought that? What's the obviously, you'd know the answer. Middle Lofi LA. Since we see when it comes to Pesach, Rav Meir holds that when it turns white, a person not chayav karis for eating it on Pesach, but he does hold that you get malchus for it. So therefore, it's definitely chometz too. So therefore, there's no question it is some type of chometz. Fine, the reason a person is not chayav karis is for a different reason, because Rashi says, based on the Gemara over there, it's not really chometz haroi l'achila. It's not really edible at this point. It's called chometz nuksha, like hard or otherwise inedible. He's getting malchus because you have different mitzvahs when it comes to Pesach. You have a mitzvah that a person eats chometz to get karis, and you have another thing that it says that they call machmeses loyse chayvi. Machmeses means anything that he would understand that this is a machmeses, right? So therefore, we would say a person gets malchus for it. So obviously, in that sense, it's considered chometz. Or Tosfos brings from the Gemara over there in Sakhin because it's coal, chometz. Whatever, but so according to Rav Meir, if you brought the seer, which again Rav Meir's definition of seer is where the dough turned white and then you went and baked it, obviously you're not yotze your neder. Obviously it must be chometz because Rav Meir would say the person gets malchus for it. So therefore, sure, he's yotze because he brought 10 loaves of chometz towards the toida. So what's the question?
So the question is only according to Rabbi Yehuda.
Well, no, but we said it. If we're talking about Rabbi Meir's definition of seer, but we're talking about according to Rabbi Yehuda, then Rabbi Yehuda would hold that's 100% master. Ella did Rabbi Yehuda or Rabbi Yehuda. So that's the answer. We're asking Rabbi Yehuda's definition of seer, where it has one crack here, one crack there. The question is, what would Rabbi Yehuda say in this case if you let the dough rise to that point where it has a crack here, a crack there, then you baked it? Would you be yotze your neder by bringing it towards the toilet? No, hold on. We said according to Rabbi Yehuda, a person is not chayav malchus for seer. Not only is Rabbi Yehuda would say not only is not chayav anything when it's white, then he's even yotze with it as masa. But even once it has to have nechagavim, fine, masa it isn't anymore. Oh, you're saying, but it, maybe no, but it's not really machnesis
no,
yet. He holds you no, because of course machnesis, you'd get malchus for it. Rabbi Yehuda holds
for
it's not for the mayor. It's machnesis. Actually, no, for the mayor once it has cracks, once it has cracks, according to the mayor, it's called gum.
What's machnesis then?
According to the mayor, when it turned white. Keep in mind, that's the thing. You have when it turns white, and you have when it has cracks here or cracks there. Reb Meir holds when it's white, one second. They both agree it says machmesis in the Torah. But Reb Meir would hold machmesis when it turns white. Reb Yehuda holds that machmesis means something else. It has to do with haruvas chomis, it has to do with other such things. So therefore, it's not relevant to this issue. You either have it's white, it's still masa, or it's kachane chagavim, fine, it's not masa anymore, but neither is it chomis of any kind, not chomis, not machmesis. So therefore, fine, you're not allowed to eat it, achachila, but you don't get malchus for it. When it's white, Rabbi Yehuda says it's full masa. When it has cracks, when it has one crack here, one crack there, he says it's not masa anymore, but it's not chomis either. That's what we're saying in our Gemara. It's not. It's not chomis, it's not achmesis, but it's not masa either. So therefore, that's the question. So if Rabbi Yehuda says, on the one hand, it's not masa anymore, on the other hand, it's not any kind of chomis yet, and therefore a person not chayav even malchus for it. So now the question is, so what would be the din in this case? Again, the person said, I'm going to bring lachmei toda, either chomis or masa. Now he brought the seer, where it had a crack here or a crack there, and he baked it. According to Rabbi Yehuda, what would be the din? Is he yotzei or nether? Similar to the previous questions of Rabbega. Speikahav, do we say that it's a suffix, whether that's essentially a suffix, whether it's chomis or masa? And therefore, that would be why Rabbi Yehuda says you don't get malchus for it, because you can't get malchus for something that's a suffix.
No, but he says it's not one or the other.
That's the point. Is it that it's not, one second, stop. Is it that he says that it's not, that you don't get malchus only because it's a suffix? Is it, in other words, if we were to know, if we knew the actual din, whether it was chomis or whether it was masa, we would know whether he could use it for being yotze to the mitzvah of masa versus whether he would get chomis, whether he would get malchus for it. Like this, maybe we would say, okay, because it's a suffix, on the one hand, you can't use it for masa because it's a suffix. On the other hand, you can't give him malchus because it's also a suffix. But if you say that, then it means, in this case over here, benofik memonafshach, then we're back to his yotze, his nether in this case, either way you look at it, because he said, I'm going to bring either chomis or masa. If you define Rabbi Yehuda that way, this is either chomis or masa. We just don't know which is which. So as far as Pesach, fine, we can't do anything with it.
Yeah.
But as far as here, you have, he could be yotze and neder. Similar to what we had as far as the yellow feathers of the birds, and similar to what we had as far as the pillars.
According to Rabbi Yehuda, it's not chomis, and it's not masa.
But that's the question. What do we mean it's not chomis and it's not masa? Does he mean it's a third stage? It's neither, there's three possible stages. Chomis, seer and masa. No, it could be they saying just like we said with the birds and just like we said with the aisles. It could be there's basically only two stages. There's chomis and there's masa, but there's an intermediary stage where we have a suffix on the din, whether it's chomis or masa. But it's definitely one or the other. We just don't know the din. That's the same thing we were saying as far as the birds. That's when they have the yellow feathers around the neck. Is it that it's a beria? Is it that there's three stages in its life? Babyhood, yellow feathers and adulthood, or is it there's really only two, babyhood and adulthood? The yellow feathers is a point where it's suffix. So here's the same question. If it's a suffix, he said, I'm going to bring either chomis or masa, therefore v'nofik memonatra, so either way he's yotze, because either it counts as a chomis or it counts as a masa, or maybe again, maybe it's a beria, maybe it's a third stage, and therefore he's not yotze, because he said chomis or masa, and this is neither chomis nor masa.
And loy chameya?
That's according to the mayor, there'd be no question.
No question.
According to the mayor, there's no question, because even when it turns white, the mayor says already a person is high of,
right,
is high of malchus for it. So therefore, already, that's definitely considered common.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's the question, according to the mayor.
When can you get malchus according to...
According to the mayor, when you eat seer, according to the Yehuda, you wouldn't. According to the Yehuda, you wouldn't get malchus for white, because then it's still masa. You wouldn't get malchus for when it has a crack here or a crack there, either because it's a suffix or because it's a beria. That's what we're discussing here in the Gemara. Once it reaches that it has more cracks, which is called siduk, then a person's chayav karis for it. According to him, the cases where a person would be chayav malchus rather than karis for eating chomet and pesach, well, no, not badai. It would be, well, first of all, it would have to be badai, but also it would involve parovas, chomet, and other such things. It wouldn't involve, not involving different stages with the dough. Okay. So that's the question, and the Gemara, that before we get to any possible answer on the Gemara, we have to ask, What is the scenario over here anyway? He's saying I'm going to bring Lach Metoida. How is such a thing possible? Didn't Rav Huna say that if a person says I'm making a neder to bring Lach Metoida, maybe Toida v'Lachma, then he has to bring the Toida as well as the Lechem, because there's no such thing as Lechem without Toida. So if this person, so what are we talking about over here? If this person says I'm going to bring either the Chometz or the Masa of a Toida, automatically he becomes chayiv in the whole thing anyway. So he has to bring chometz, and he has to bring masa, and he has to bring a toida. So what's the question? Whether he was yotzei his neder? Obviously he's not yotzei. Even if you're going to say that this is chometz, that these particular loaves are chometz, or these particular loaves are masa, he still has to do the rest of the toida to be yotzei his neder.
He has to bring chometz, masa,
and the toida. Yeah.
And the toida.
And the toida. Yeah. The answer is like this. So that's the question. So the kivin de ichayev le betoida v'lachma, if he's chayev now in the toida and in the lachem, so even let's say that the seer is not beria. Let's say it's suffers whether it's chometz or masa. The fact of the matter is, holo yoda I gaver ichometzu, so this person doesn't know, or any of us don't know, whether these loaves that he brought are chometz, which in that case, lysi masa, in that case he's going to have to bring the masa as well, I masahu, or if these loaves are the masa, the lysi chometz, and in that case we have to bring chometz. So either way, what is he going to be able to do with it? What are these loaves going to be accomplishing? So what's the point of Reb Zeira's question, even whether he's Yotzei's neder? There's no way to be Yotzei's neder if he himself doesn't know what he brought so far and what he has yet to bring. Okay.
I guess nobody knows.
That's the point. The answer is Lois Tricha. The answer is yes. That's the point. Nobody knows. Right. Nobody knows. That's the point. The suffix to all of us. Right. The answer is Lois Tricha, yes. But the case where
Reb Zeira... both things together.
Okay, but that's what we're saying. Maybe it's one or the other. We just don't know which one it is. That's the point of the question. So the answer is Lois Tricha. The answer is the case that we need Reb Zeira's question for is as follows. The Omer Hare Alai Chala Lister Toidase Shoplain. Loi, you can read it either way. Loi Tzricha, it's not necessary except for as follows. Loi, no, that's not how to explain the question. Tzricha, we need it for as follows. Yeah. It's a common expression in the Gemara, as you know. We're not talking about where the person says, just I'm going to bring challahs by themselves. Of course, then he has to bring a toida. We're talking about Da'omar, where he says, lifter toidase shel ploini. He's saying like this. I know that ploini is going to be bringing a toida. I am going to be menadiv a certain number of challahs to help make up his toida. So yes, he himself is going to have to bring some of them, but I'm obligating myself to bring one type of loaves towards his toida.
So now that's the question.
He brought the seer. Does it count as the chometz or does it count as the masa? Okay. Or do we say that it doesn't count as either and therefore he wasn't yotzei his neder? It's a matter of the fact. It's either it's chometz or... No, so that, but that's the point, in other words. If we said that he himself has to bring a toida, then there's no question he has to bring two. He has to bring vadei chometz and he has to bring vadei masa. He can't be bringing something that's a sophist. But if he's saying, I'm going to be bringing it together with somebody else's toida, fine. He's not obligated to bring the toida itself. He's not obligated to bring the other loaves. All he's bringing is these loaves. So the question is whether he's yotzei his neder. Okay, but the question still is, so, okay, but how does that help? After all, said and done, holo yada hai gavri chomet hu delaisi masa, imasa hu delaisi chomet. It still doesn't help. The other guy doesn't know either whether these 10 loaves or 30 loaves or whatever, whether these 10 estronim are chomet or masa. So you're back to the same problem over here. How could he possibly be yotzei's neder with that if it can't actually be brought together with the toda anyway?
There's no name.
Yeah, exactly. The answer is lois tricha deloi amalister. The answer is, okay, change it a little bit. He did say that it's in connection with somebody else's toida, but he didn't say the word lister, that I'm going to do this in order to pater somebody else from part of his obligation of a toida. He just said, I'm bringing these chalas in connection with so-and-so's toida. So now he says it's so-and-so's toida, so he's not obligated in the toida itself or in the other lechem. Now, obviously, the other person is not going to be potter with the seer, because you need chometz vadai or masa vadai, and here we have, it might be a suffix, or it might be a barrier. The question is, this person might think that he's able, so this person might conceivably think that it counts as chometz, that he'll give these as the chometz loaves, and then the other person will supply the masa. So now, the question is, so now do we say he thinks that he's bringing it along with the korban and that it could be brought with the korban, so therefore maybe is he yoseh? What are you going to do with these chalas? Rashi says in that case,
in other words,
Reuven says I'm going to bring a toida. So therefore Shimon says, you know what, I'll help you out over there, I'm making a neder that I'll bring either the chometz or masa towards your toida. So he may be under the impression that these seer that he's bringing actually could be used as one of the steps of loaves. So now, when he, so now the question would be, if we say that it's a suffix, then fine, he's yoyse his neder by bringing them. Yidei nidre nafik. You could make a gabri yidei nidre nafik. You could argue he was yoyse his neder because he did bring them with it. Aye, they can't be offered with it. What it is Rashi says that what we'll do is they will have kedushas haguf because they are a suffix, either chametz or matzah, so therefore they do have kedushas haguf. You will, or not kedushas haguf rather, they'll have kedushas damim. So fine, they'll be paid to them from Hekdesh, and the money will go towards it. The money can go towards a different toyda. The money can go to Nandava to a different toyda. Or maybe if we say that it's a barrier, then he's not Yotze at all, because he said, I'm going to bring either the chametz or the matzah, and this is definitely neither chametz nor matzah. That would be the question.
1 second. It's not chametz or matzah at that time. If you wait another 18 minutes...
Yeah, obviously, we know that. But right now...
So why don't we just say...
Okay, if he waits, then he waits, then there's no question. But the question is, if he bakes... Yeah, if he bakes them now as seals, that would be the question. Once they're baked, they're not going to become chametz, right? Anyway, so that's the question, therefore. So, again, the scenario is, he said, Reuven is bringing the Torah. Shimon says, I am bringing Lechem in connection with that Torah, not lifter, Torah Seish Opoini, because that would imply that he has to bring bread that could actually be used towards the guy's chayv, and he would can't. Here, he's under the impression that he can bring it, that he was under the impression that it can be brought together with it, and not the pastor of the other guy, but just, okay, you know, it'll be brought along together with the Korban.
What's the game of doing that? It's not being counted either one.
So it's not being counted, let's say. So actually, Rashi seems to say that he thinks that maybe it could be counted, that it could be offered together with the master of the other guy, that he'll supply the spear. The other guy, Reuven, will supply the master. He's under the impression that that will work. So therefore, maybe once he brings it to the Beit Mikdash, that he's Yotze. Same as we said yesterday about once he brings the birds, then he can be Yotze. Or maybe not. If we say that it's a barrier, he said, I'm going to bring master or chametz, and this is not master and not chametz.
He said a lie. On me to bring
right.
It. So how can he say that the other guy will bring the rest?
Because that's what he said. Harei alai lachem. He only said harei alai lachem toida. Harei alai lachem toida mina chametz or mina masa. He only said that I'm going to bring either the chametz or the masa. He's not obligated in the rest of the toida. He said harei. In other words, again, we started by saying that he just said harei alai lachem toida. Then we corrected it that he said harei alai lachem toida lifter to or not lifter. Harei alai chalas. I'm obligated to bring challah in connection with somebody else's toida. So that's the question. Therefore, is it a suffix or is it a barrier? And the answer is teku. Again, we don't know, and therefore he's not yotze his neder by bringing the seal. So it ends up similar to the previous questions of Reb Zera. All of them ended up with teku. So that's it. So that's the bottom line. We don't know whether seer is a barrier. We don't know whether it's a barrier. Okay.
And so therefore we say that
in Rav Zera's question, therefore it would end up being a suffix. It would end up being a suffix, and therefore he's not yotze. Not only it's a suffix in the sense that you can't offer it, but it's a suffix in that we don't know whether he fulfilled his neder, and therefore he'd have to bring another one.
What about the previous example that we had?
Which we had the same thing with the birds and the same thing with them, the same thing with the eye. On this set, Rashi says that you're poyged, by the way, the Rashba brings from a different collection of Tosfos, not the Tosfos we have here on the Amud, that asks, how does that help? If you poyged before the Korban was shifted, then they didn't go along with the Korban anyway. You can't be poyged them after the Korban is shifted, because if they got Kedusha together with the Shechita of the Korban, then they have Kedusha done work, and you can't be poyged them anymore. So he says, rather, that maybe what it is the person has the impression that he's able to bring an extra large korban. We had a concept about that in Menachas. We had a machlokes chizki and Rabbi Yochanan. If a person brings 80 chalas instead of 40, do we say that all 80? Well, because that he's yotze. We know he's yotze, but the question is whether the extra 40 get any degree of kedusha or not. So here we could say then that they don't. They get a limited degree of kedusha, so therefore they go along with the zebach. But on the other hand, you can still be part of that afterwards.
So what do we say teku then?
So the teku still means we don't know whether he was yotze his neder. Because again, if seer is a barrier, then he b'chlal wasn't yotze his neder. Because he said, I'm going to bring either chometz or master, and he brought something else entirely. Whereas if you take a sophic chometz, sophic master, fine, either way, whether it's actually chometz or whether it's actually master, he was yotze his neder. Okay. Fine. Another one of these mishnayos that go with this, a disconnection between one thing and the other, as we had with Malika and Shita, and now with Totem and Benayah, you know? So the Mishnah says kosher b'parah, the case that is kosher in connection with the parah aduma, posel b'egla would be posel when it comes to the egla arufa. Namely, the parah aduma has to be shechted, The egla arufa has to be decapitated. Now, has to have his head chopped off.
Yes, so.
Kosher by egla, possible pota, and vice versa. What's kosher by the egla arufa, not knocking off the head, is... Yeah, exactly. So that's the point. In other words, so again, you have what's there's no middle ground between them.
What's
good for one is bad for the other, and vice versa. So, turn it up. The egg has to be dafka by the pora aduma, so that's to be shchita. So now we're going to analyze that in the Gemara. Turn it up, we learn in the Braisa. Pora b'shchita k'sher of the egg by rifa p'sula. The pora aduma, if you shechted it's kosher, that's the way it's supposed to be done. But if you did arifa, if you chopped off the head from the back of the neck using a cleaver or whatever, then it would be possible. Egla, whereas the egla arufa is the other way around. By rifa k'sher of b'shchita p'sula. Nimte, so it comes out, like we said in our mission, a kosher b'parah possible b'egla, kosher b'egla possible b'parah. Okay. So now the question is, how do we know? Maybe, utahei parah k'sheda b'arisa m'kal b'chomer. Why shouldn't we argue that that's k'al b'chomer? To say that the parah adruma should also be kosher if you did arifa on it. Now, Tosfos points out that we're gonna say, because we can learn from the egla arufa. So Tosfos says, I mean, on the face of it, the Gemara could have asked the same thing as far as other animals, you could ask the same thing. If the egla arufa is kosher b'arifa, maybe chulin, maybe other kodshim should be kosher b'arifa. The reason why the Gemara is asking specifically about parah adruma is because the parah adruma and the egla arufa have certain similarities between them. On the one hand, they're both considered kodshim in a certain way. On the other hand, they're both killed, shechted, or decapitated, as the case may be, outside the Azara. The parah adruma on Harazesim, the egla arufa in the valley over there, near the city where the body was found. They both accomplish kapara. Neither of them can have work done with them. So they have a lot of similarities. So therefore, the Gemara is going to ask, why don't we make a kavah chomer from the egla arufa to the parah adruma specifically, and say that the parah adruma should be kosher with arufa.
Can't work with it.
If you did,
like a parah adruma.
In that sense, it's like a parah adruma. It has to have never been worked with, right? Yeah. So then the parah is straight in. Okay. So the kavah chomer would be as follows. Where it's not kosher with shchita, if you shecht it, then you haven't accomplished the mitzvah. But it is kosher if you decapitate it. The parah adruma, where it is kosher with shchita, and we know that because the pasuk does say v'shachat tzaris l'fanav. Shouldn't it be a kavah chomer that is also kosher with arufa? The logic is, again, that if we're learning that if the egla arufa is kosher with arifa, then maybe the parah adruma, which is kosher with shchita, should also be kosher with arifa. It should be no worse than the egla arufa. Hold on. First of all, the Gemara is going to ask the kavah chomer the other way around I mean, the kavah chomer could be asked the other way around also. Yeah. And Tosfos asks, on the face of it, what kind of a question is that? Part of the question is, each one has chomeris that the other one doesn't have. The parah adruma makes the people involved as a tomei, the egla arufa doesn't. The egla arufa is also bahana, the parah adruma isn't. Tosfos says two things over here. One possibility is that maybe we're not really saying a kavach, the Gemara is using the word kavach chomer, maybe what the Gemara really means is a mamasinu, like a binyan av. Once we find by the egla arufa that's kosher by arifa, maybe it should be also the case with the parah adruma, which has so many similarities with the egla arufa. Mamasinu means once we have a din in one place, we should apply it also to similar dinim unless we find a reason otherwise. Kavah chomer would be that we should say the point of kavah chomer would be if we find that even by this one, which is a less stringent thing, we have the sin, then how much more so by this one, which is more stringent. Anyway, Tosfos also says that what it is maybe this kavah chomer is not really between the parah adruma and the egla arufa themselves, but rather between the actions of shchita and arifa. Madach shchita, which is so weak that it's no good by the egla arufa, and yet it's good by the parah adruma. So then arifa, which apparently is stronger because it works even by the egla arufa, it's the only thing that works by the egla arufa. Maybe it should also work by the parah adruma. That's the question. Not so much between the parah adruma and the egla arufa, because true, each one has chumras over the other one, but about shchita versus arifa.
Even that
that's true, and that's what I said. Tosfos mentioned at the beginning of the Dibra Amas Chol Tehei, but the answer is Tosfos says the Gemara is focusing mainly on the Parah Adruma and the Egla Arufa because they have so many similarities between them. Other korbanos, you could argue other korbanos are different. You shecht and dafke in the Azara. Other cholin are different. They're not kodshim at all. Here, we have the Parah Adruma and the Egla Arufa are both a form of kodshim. that Parah Adruma is actually Kodshei Berik Abayis, and the Egla Arufa is called Kodshim in the Pasuk, the Kapara Ksiv Baka Kodshim, the Gemara mentions in a number of places, that accomplishes Kapara like Kodshim, so therefore you should maybe argue.
Just come back to the Gemara before, that everything needs to have strictly besides the bird. A bird has Dafka.
But that's what we're asking. Everything
else is...
But that's what we're asking. Maybe when it comes to other Cholin and other Kodshim, sure. But when it comes to the Parah Adruma, maybe that's an exception to the rule. Maybe it's similar to the Egla Arufa. And we should be able to learn by this Kavah Chomer or Mamasino or whatever that Arufa should work. No. Therefore, Amakra B'Shochat V'Chukha. Therefore, the Pasuk mentions by the Parah Adruma, it says B'Shochat, that he should chant it, and at the beginning of the Parashah, Zoyz Chukat HaTorah. The word Chukha means that it has to be exactly like this and no other way. The shchita ain't by arifa loy, so therefore it means that's the shchita, not arifa. For the egla arufa, it doesn't say chukka, but that's what we're going to wait. But the egla arufa, it doesn't say chukka, but okay, so hold on, we'll get to that at the end. So that's where we live. Choices, by the way, brings over here from Rabbeinu Tam, that's not necessarily that the word chukka itself means that you have to have every detail done correctly. Rather, what it is once we have the word chukah or chukah, those chukah satara, in this connection, we learn from a gzera shava, from a different case over there, from shtiri yayin, that it has to be this way and no other. Okay, other rishonim learn not like that. They say that the actual word chukah itself, it's a gzera shava, chukah, according to Rabbeinu Tam. According to other rishonim, no, it just means the word chukah itself means it has to be exactly like this. Okay, anyway. So the question is, so what are you telling me? Any place where the Torah mentions the word chukah in connection with a certain avodah, then it has to be exactly that way and no other, and you can't learn kavah chomer to say that maybe it should be able to be done differently. What about when it comes to the avodah of Yom Kippur, where at the end of, in Achrimos, at the end of the parasha of Yom Kippur, it says, and Vitanya, and yet we learn in a Braisa that we could conceivably have made a Kavah Chomer in connection with something of Yom Kippur, except that it's blocked by a specific process, namely like this. When the process says, so what do? We have the two Se'irim, the Kohen Gadol does the Gerd on them, one is Lashem, one is Lazazel. The Pasuk says, V'ostahu Chatos, the Pasuk says the Kohen Gadol makes the Gerd, and he makes it a Chatos. Means, Ha Gerd, Oysa Chatos, Ve'en Hashem, Oysa Chatos. Only the Gerd accomplishes that it designates one of them, as a chatas. Not just verbally designating it. If you were to just say, if the Kohen were to just verbally say, this one is Lashem, this one is Lazazel, nothing happens. The only way to do it is through the Gerd. Now, why do you need the Pasuk to do that? Shidyachol v'aladinu, because you would think to make a Kavah Chomer as follows. Uma b'mokam shalai kodash shalai kiddush ha-gerdol, madach in a parallel case, where you can't use a girdle to be Makadosh them. Namely, Rashi says, let's say, now you have the two Seirim, one is Lashem, one is Lazazel. You have other examples in the Torah where a person brings two birds for a korban, and one of them has to be designated a chatas and one an oila. Namely, for example, you have a woman who gave birth, a zav, a zava, they have to bring two birds, one is an oila, one is a chatas, and you don't use a girdle for that. If you were to make a girdle between them, nothing happens. The only way to make them kodesh, the only way to designate is verbally. This one's a chatas, this one's oila. So in a case where a girdle does not help to makadosh them, kodesh kiddush Hashem, yet saying verbally, calling it this one is a chatas, accomplishes that now it's a chatas. Mokum shkiddush a girdle. Then when it comes to the seirim of Yom Kippur, where the girdle is effective in making them kodesh, ain't a dinsh kiddush Hashem. Shouldn't it be a kavah chomer that also just verbally saying Lashem or Lazazel should help? No, well, you would think to make such a kavah chomer. Therefore, Talmud Lomar. Therefore, to block that, the pasuk specifically says va'astahu chatos. He makes it a chatos, meaning with the girdle, meaning ha girdle oisa chatos vein Hashem oisa chatos. But only the point is. Taima de kosta rachmana vaso chatas. So what are we seeing from all that? Only because it explicitly says vaso chatas, does that block this kavachimer? Right, not because of chukah. Hold on, he does it in kavachimer. If it weren't for that, we could have darshin this kavachimer. What about the chukah that it says at the end of it there? So obviously, just because it says chukah doesn't mean you can't do a kavachimer, yeah? The answer is, miyat rachmana gabe egla ha'arufa zois barifa vein acheres barifa. Okay, but I have a different answer. The answer is, you're right. Maybe the word chukah would still allow us to dash in a kavah chomer. So maybe we could have made the kavah chomer in connection with the parah adruma. However, when it comes to the egla arufa, the pasuk says, the pasuk says miyat rachmana gabe egla ha arufa. The pasuk uses the expression over there, the egla which was decapitated. Now that's an extra word we know from the previous psukim that it was, because it mentions twice over there. It mentions the orfu shaman, and then a couple of psukim later it says they have the kainim wash their hands over the egla ha arufa v'anochal. So it doesn't have to repeat again ha arufa, because you know already from the previous psukim that it was decapitated. So the word ha arufa is a mute. Zois barifa ve'en acheres barifa. Only this thing has arifa done to it, no other kind of thing. So therefore that blocks us from saying the Kal v'chomer to say that it should apply to the Parah Adruma as well. But not because of Chukah ultimately, but because of the miut by Egla Arufa itself.
It's the second Arufa that makes it.
So it's the second Arufa that makes it. Right. Okay, Choisef, by the way, brings up the point. You know, given that we were trying to make that Kal v'chomer before, okay, we can't use that Kal v'chomer for Yom Kippur because of our Tov Chatas, maybe we should use the Kal v'chomer the other way around. Say that when it comes to a person brings two birds for a korban, they could use a girdle to make the designation. So Tosfos just says, okay, maybe there's some miut. Maybe there's some miut that tells us not. The Rashba explains there is, because the Gemara in Yuma explains, based on Psukim, that the only two ways in which it can be designated, this one's a chatas and this one's a oila, is either when the person buys the two birds, he designates them at the time, or when he or she gives them to the Kohen, and the Kohen on the spot decides, I'll do this one as a chatas and this one as a oila. So therefore, there's no room for a girl. There's no third option.
Well, you could say that the Torah mentions a girl. Therefore, you have to have the Torah mentioned.
No, because since you have two different stukim, you have one that says the Gemara brings in Yom over there. You have two different stukim. One says va'asa. One says behavia. So therefore, we learn it's only bahava or bahasia. So therefore, there's no room for a girl. Now getting back to the Gemara. So the answer is that's how we know that a girl doesn't work when it comes to kin.
So that's it.
The bottom line is, we know that when it comes to the Parah Adruma, you can't do Arifa. First, we thought to say that we could make a Kal v'chomer that you do, and we thought to say because there's Chukah than not. In the end, we're saying no, because it says Arufa, which is a miut, only the Egla is Arufa, nothing else.
Why did we bring this case?
We brought the case because we wanted to show that there's a case where it says chukah and we can still use a Kal v'chomer unless the pasuk tells us otherwise. Okay. Now the other way around, or to hey, Egla created the shit in the Kal v'chomer, why don't we do the Kal v'chomer the other way around? Say that the Egla Arufa, instead of having to do Arufa, you could instead shed it. And the Kal v'chomer would be as follows. Where it's not kosher to do Arufa, as we just established, but it's kosher by doing shita. Egla shekshed of Arifa, the Egla Arufa, where Arifa works for it, ain't a din shehukshur of a shkita. Shouldn't it be a kavachomer or mamasin or whatever, that it would be kosher with shkita? The answer is, omakra v'orfu, because the pasuk says in that connection with the Egla Arufa, v'orfu, and it says ha'egla. So it says v'orfu and it says ha'egla. They should decapitate the Egla. So therefore, in other words, well, it's redundant. Therefore, it's in other words, the shana olah akos of la'akiv. It means the pasuk is repeating the din to tell us that it's ma'akiv. So therefore, barifa ain't b'shchita loy. So it only works with barifa, not with shchita.
We consider egla rufa and paraduma kachin.
Like I said before, the paraduma is considered kodesh bedek abayis. It's bought from money of hekdesh. And the Egla Arufa, in and of itself, is not considered kodshim. However, the Gemara mentions in a few places that it does mention kapara in that connection, kafir la'amcha Yisrael, and usually it's only kodshim that accomplish kapara. Therefore, the Egla Arufa has, to that extent, it has the din of kodshim. It also, for example, as far as the din of me'ilah, that if one once brought down into the nachalais, and it's also bahana, and a person, therefore, once it's repeated, then it's shana ala akos active, and therefore it means that it can only be arifa, not shetel.
Even if it's not fully
kodshim, but the paradumah isn't fully kodshim either, but okay. Another one, the Mishnah says, kosher b'koyin impossible of being, kosher b'levim possible b'koyinim. What's kosher among the koyinim is possible by the levim, and vice versa. What do we mean by that? First line in the Gemara, Tanan Abanan, koyinim b'mumim psulim b'shonim k'sherim. Koyinim are only possible to do the avodah if they have mumim, but they don't get passed because of age. There's no maximum age at which a koyin can serve in the Beit Mikdash in and of itself. Later on, we'll see. I mean, there can be. If he gets so old that he's shaking, then he's possible for the avodah. But the age itself doesn't disqualify him. On the other hand, Leviim b'mumin ksherim b'shonim solim. On the other hand, Leviim are kosher to do whatever they do in the business, if they have mumin. But they're postal because of age, because you have in parashas at the end of Bamidbar and at the beginning of Nasa, it talks about that the Leviim only serve from ages 30 to 50. So therefore, once they're 50, then they're postal. So they have nimsas, therefore, comes out. Kosher b'koyin impossible Leviim, kosher b'Leviim possible b'koyin. Now, by the way, this one is a little bit different than the previous Mishnayot. The previous Mishnayot is there's no overlap. There's no case which is kosher in one and the other. If it's kosher, here there is, because obviously you can have a person who's under 50 and has no mumim, and has a koyin he'd be kosher, and has a levi he'd be kosher. We just mean, in other words, that there's a certain thing that passes koyin and that doesn't pass levium, and vice versa. Okay. Menani, really, where do we know all this from? So like this, the Tanan Abon, and we learn in a Brisa. The Pasuk says like this. In Parashat Ba'aloisa, Zois Asher LaLevim, it says this should be for Levim, and it starts describing that it says from 25 and on, they start serving in the Mishkan, and we'll ask soon what kind of 25, later on it said 30, so we'll get to that soon, but wait. From 25, they can serve, they can do the Avodah in the Mishkan. From 50, they Yoshuv Mitzvah Avodah, they have to return and then not do the Avodah anymore. When it starts off Zois Asher LaLevim, Ma tamablaima, what do we need, what are these words, zois asher lalavim, what is that adding? So like this, lafi shenemar umiben chamishim shkana yashuv, given that the Pasuk says that once a levi is 50, he no longer does the avodah, he has to return, he has to go away from doing the avodah, lamanu lalavim shashanim poisim lehem, well, okay, that tells us, lalavim are possible once they reach a certain age. Yachol mumim poisim lehem, so now you would think maybe that also mumim should pass for them, and you would say the dinhu, and you would think to make kavachomer as follows, Uma koinim she'en ashonim posim behem mumim posim behem. Koinim are not passed by age, but they're passed by mumim. Leviim she'ashonim posim behem. Leviim were obviously more machmir on them, because they're even disqualified by age without a mum. Ein edinchi hu mumim posim behem. Shouldn't it be then a kavachomer that mumim also passed them? Therefore, Talmud Lomar, zois asher la Leviim, that is why you have the pasuk, this is for the Leviim, meaning zois la Leviim ve'en acheres la Leviim. This is the only disqualification for Leviim, not mumim. Okay. Not only age, not more. Okay. Now the other way around. Yahu Yu Akoinim still in Bashanim. Now that we established that only the Levim are only possible with age. Well, that's the point. So now you would think that maybe Koinim are possible when they reach a certain age. Bahalo Dinu. And again, you would think to make a Kabachon or the other way around. Uma Levim Shein Mumim Poisim. And Madach Levim where Mumim don't pass for them, as we just established because of Zeus. Yet Shonim Poisim Behem, but age, beyond a certain age, pass for them. No, Talmud Lomar, therefore, the Pasuk continues, Asher LaLevim. This is the rule for the Levim. The word Levim is also a mirror, meaning, therefore, V'loy Asher LaKoinim. So, therefore, it doesn't apply to the Koinim. Yeah.
We don't know why.
No, there is a concept, but that's how it is. That's how it is. By the way, I mean, one, some of the Akoinim point out an interesting point. Why would we even think that age could possibly pass all the Koinim? When did Aaron become Koin Gadol? He was 83. How much older are you going to get than that you should say that? The fact is, because he served as Kohen Gadol for the rest of his life. He served as Kohen Gadol.
No,
he served as Kohen Gadol, so why should we think there's an exception for him? So no, but the point is, though, that the answer is, maybe the Gemara is thinking, maybe there's a difference between a Kohen Hedges and a Kohen Gadol. Maybe if it weren't for the Pasuk, Asher LaLevim, you would think a Kohen Hedges is disqualified once he reaches a certain age. Kohen Gadol, fine, he's not doing the Avodah every day, whatever. Continues the Braise, Yoho after Shiloh of Beit Elamim, you would think that this disqualification of Levim also applies in the Mishkan in Shiloh and in the Beit Mikdash in Yerushalayim. Now you have like this, keep in mind, in the Midbar, what were the Levim doing? They were doing a number of different things. Some of them they continued doing in Shiloh and Beit Elamim, some not. So first of all, they were carrying the Mishkan and its components. That, once they're in Shiloh, which, as we learned in Zvachim, was a stone building with curtains for the roof. So they're not moving anything around anymore. So Levim are not carrying anything. And of course, not with the Beit Mikdash. They're not carrying anything either. But then you have the other jobs that Levim do. They're also continuing to do later on. There's Shira, there's singing when the Korbanos are being brought. There's Shoyarim, that they open and close the gate. And then stand guard duty by the Beit Mikdash overnight. You have some Rishonim say during the day. Also, yeah, whatever it is, the point is. So you would
have to be the Levim that keep the gate.
Yeah,
cannot be Israel.
Right. Right. I mean, right. As far as guarding them, you have we're learning when we get the Talmud and Midos next year. That's sure. Can. No, it can't. But it has, you have there's 24 places where they're guarded, three places where Kohenim and three groups of Kohenim and 21 of Levim. No, it has to have to be Kohenim and Levim.
The Shomim also.
Well, yeah. So you have Kohenim in certain places and Levim in the rest of them. But as far as opening and closing the gate, same thing. Not only the same thing, not only it has to be only Levim, but actually the Gemara tells us, and we'll learn in an Erchin in a few months, says to them, that actually if you have a Levi, that Levim are not allowed to switch jobs either. If a Levi was appointed a Meshurter, a singer, he's not allowed to go help open and close the gate. And vice versa, a gatekeeper is not allowed to decide to become one of the singers. No, it's Megarad Isa, actually. As a matter of fact, the Gemara says over there that you had Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya, the famous Rabbi Yeshua, the Tanya, and Rabbi Yochanan ben Gudgado were both Levim. One is a Meshurter, one is a Shurter. So I think Rabbi Yochanan ben Gudgado was one of the ones in charge of opening and closing the gate. And one time Rabbi Yeshua wanted to help him, or maybe I have it backwards, I don't remember. And he tells him, you can't. You're a Meshurter, I'm a Shurter. And if you were to help me with my avodah, you'd be chayav nisa b'dei shamayim. No playing with around with this stuff. Yeah.
Which one did you say that?
If they talked about it, I don't remember the exact topic it's floating from. We'll get there when we get to that Sylvia and Eric. And anyway, the point is, again, so when it comes to the Mishkan in the desert, the Levium are doing carrying. They're not doing that once they reach Shiloh, and they're not doing that once they reach Beit Olam. So therefore, maybe in that time, also the rule still applies that Levium are possible because of age. No, Talmud Boim, Lavod Avodas, Avodah Va'avodas Masa. No, therefore the Pasuk mentions at the end of the census of Levim, it says that these Levim are being appointed to do Avodas Avodah, which means the Shira, which is an Avodah that accompanies another Avodah, Va'avodas Masa, and the work of carrying, meaning Loya Marti, Elavaz Mansha, Avodah Bekosis, meaning this rule that they're disqualified after 50 only applies during the period when things are being carried on the shoulders. So once they're in Shiloh, once Shiloh is built, and later on, once the Beth Mikdash is built, the Levim are not carrying anything, therefore they can serve in the Beth Mikdash as gatekeepers and as singers even beyond age 50. Interesting, by the way, as a side point over here, although it also relates to our Gemara, the Rambam talks about how do we know what are counted as among the 613 mitzvahs and whatnot. He says one of the rules is, he brings the Shoshim at the beginning of Sefer HaMitzvahs, a mitzvah that's not noyig for future times, that was only like a temporary thing in the Midbar, doesn't count as one of the 613 mitzvahs. Therefore, he says, based on our Gemara over here, since the disqualification for Levium based on age is only, and since Bechlau, they're not just a disqualification based on age, the whole concept that Levium carry, that the Levium have a mitzvah to carry the Mishkan as Kalim only applied in the Midbar, therefore he says you don't count it as one of the 613 mitzvahs. However, the Ramban disagrees with the Ramban. The Bahag, actually, from the Gaonim, does count it as one of the mitzvahs that they should carry the Mishkan and whatever. And the Ramban justifies that because he says the fact is, even in later times, if there was reason to carry the Aron or the Kalim, for whatever reason, the mitzvah was that Davka Levim should be doing it. So you can have, for example, towards the end of the first mitzvah, when Yeshayahu has the Aron hidden away, so the mitzvah would be that Levim Davka should be carrying it. So therefore, it is a mitzvah behind the Hegas Lederah. Well, they went to war, that's a different order, and that was the order of the Shivrei Lochos, and that's a different one. Okay. Fine. So that's it. So the bottom line so far is, therefore, Kohenim Apostle with Mumin, that applies across the board, but not by age at all. Levium Apostle by age, but only in the Midbar, not once they came into Eretz Yisrael, not once the Mishkan was built in Shiloh and later. Now we have to deal with Kosev Echad Omer Ben Chomish Ve'Eshim Shana V'Maila. The Pasuk in Parashat Va'aloscha says that from age 25 they can serve in the Mishkan. The Kosev Echad Omer Ben Shloshim. Another Pasuk earlier in Bamidbar and in Nafta, it says age 30. So what is it? E Echshalom Shloshim. So you can't say that it must be 30. Shekran Nema Chafei. Because you have another Pasuk that says 25. The Echshalom Chafei. On the other hand, how can you say 25? Shekran Nema Shloshim. Because you have another Pasuk that says 30. Two Pasukim contradict each other. Okay, so how do we reconcile the two systems? It means chafhei lumod u'shloshim la'avodah. At age 25, he starts learning what he needs to learn in order to do the avodah. U'shloshim la'avodah. Then when he's 30, he... No, that's the point. During those 5 years, he's practicing. U'shloshim la'avodah. That's what it means. Ben chomesh ve'eshrim shana, yovei litzvoi tzava, the expression is. He comes to join the workforce. So he's not actually joining yet as far as carrying the pieces and whatever, because he has to wait till he's 30, because ben shloshim l'koyach, because at 30 a person has their full strength, but he starts... Okay, so Rashi mentions, over here that on the next piece, on the next line of Gemara, that it is complicated stuff to take apart and put back together the Mishkan and know exactly how it fits together, as well as you have the singing and the musical instruments. So, so complicated stuff to learn. So they had to learn for 5 years. In fact, by the way, it's an interesting thing. The Rambam mentions in Hilchos Klamei, so she mentions this business about the 30 years, but he also says a levy can serve only when he's a gadol, only when he's bar mitzvah and has shteis tzairos. So the Ketzet Mishnah says, so what is it? Is he, does he have to wait till he's 30, or can he do it immediately from bar mitzvah? So he gives a couple of answers. One of them is that maybe as far as the music specifically, the singing and the instrument, he has to learn for 5 years first, because that's complicated stuff. As opposed to, for example, to open and close the gate, he doesn't need much practice for that. That he could start doing right away at 13. Another answer is maybe it means if, as an occasional thing, he can do it from 13. It won't be possible. But no,
by 13 and 14, they lose their voice.
Yeah, okay.
Not
so
he's not a...
Okay, so then fine, maybe he can't be singing. Well, that's the point also. That's the point. That the commissioner is saying. The first answer is he needs time to learn how to sing properly. But again, at 13 already, so the first answer is at 13 he could already be opening and closing the gate and standing guard. He just can't be one of the singers until he learns for 5 years and then he only joins the choir when he's 30. Or the second answer is maybe as an occasional thing he could do it at 13, but as an ongoing thing only at 30. And the third answer, the Ketzet Mishnah says again, as we were saying, maybe the age limit of 30 also only applied in the Midbar. Maybe in the Beit Mikdash they could start serving younger.
That's for any lady?
Any lady, yeah. So 25 he starts learning, 30 he starts doing the actual avoda. Mikan la Talmud shle ros simin yachav mishnase hey shanim. From here we learn, by the way, that if a Talmud has not seen a good simin in his learning throughout 5 years, meaning in other words, Rashi says loymed v'shoytz, he keeps on learning and forgetting. Shuv ene roya, then he's not going to expect to see a simin yachav. Doesn't mean, by the way, that he should stop learning. It just means he's going to have to try a different approach. He may realize he has to review more often. He may have to try a different topic that or whatever. He may need a different rebbe or a different chabrusa or whatever. But a simin yachav, if you haven't had it in 5 years, he's not. Yeah. So hold on. That's what the Gemara is going to take up in a second. One second. By the way, this is one reason Mepharshim explains why in Pirkei Avos, why the stages are mostly 5 years apart. Ben Chomesh Shanul Mikra, Ben Esther Shanul Mishnah, Ben Chamesh Reis of the Gemara. No, just the other way around. Because we see from these circuits that the person has to learn for 5 years, and therefore we see that more than that is Enu Goyah Simen Yafa, the same thing. The kid has to be learning Tanakh for 5 years, and if he still hasn't picked it up, then he's not going to see a Simen Yafa. And 10 Mishnayot, the same thing, et cetera.
Okay. But the kids don't know, they start learning more when they...
Well, that's another matter. Part of the difference has to be, part of the difference is because nowadays it's all written down, and there's a lot of reasons. Okay. Rabbi Yosiyam Gimel Shonim. Rabbi Yosiyam says it's not 5 years, it's 3 years that the person has to be able to see a Simon Yoffa, and if not, then he knows that it's not going well. Why 3 years? Shenema, because they have a pasuk in Daniel, where Nebuchadnezzar tells one of his officers over there to bring from Eretz Yisrael children, boys, who are going to be raised in the palace and become courtiers over there. Daniel, Hanani, Mishael, Azariah were among them. And what's the purpose? Well, the Gadlam Shalim Shonim Shalish, they should be raised in the palace for 3 years. Olam Dem Sefer, Olam Shon Kastim, and they will teach them the script and the language of the Kastim. So therefore we see that Nebuchadnezzar is saying they need to be taught for 3 years. So therefore we see that 3 years, after 3 years, we should... What's the difference? It says an apostate. Once it says an apostate, we can learn from it. Same way as we learn from Lavan, Lost the Sabachira, looking after Ira, they're not supposed to marry off a younger sibling before an elder one. Yeah, once it says an eternity.
That's like girls and boys too.
Yeah, that's another question, but anyway, let's not get into that. The point is that the fact that we see that they were expected to learn for 3 years, and by that time they were expected to pick it up, shows that a person should be expected to see Simon Bracha after 3 years, and if not, then they know they have to change their approach. I'll pay the line, we say 5 years. No, not they were 3 years old. Whatever age they were, Ezra says maybe they were 15, but for 3 years they're supposed to be learning, and then they'll be ready to be presented before the king and join his court. Okay. The Idach, so what would the Tanakhami mean?
What did they do before?
Wait a minute, what did they do before? They were Jewish boys. Before no one answered, they were Jewish boys growing up in Eretz Yisrael. They were learning Torah, they were...
3 years old?
No. Before they were captured from Eretz Yisrael and brought to Babel, they were like any other Jews, and like any other Jewish kids in Eretz Yisrael. Nebuchadnezzar tells this guy, Ashpenaz Rab Sarisa, to go look out for noble Jews who have great qualities, or like we can see they're smart kids, and they Abraham Komum, the Toy Mara, and a bunch of other milos, and then bring them to the palace, etc. Okay. The Idach, so what would the Tanakhama answer? What does he do that he says Daphne you need 5 years as opposed to the Yeshi says three? He says shiny Loshen Kastim to Talos. Okay, but it's different. Once you know Hebrew already, it's not that hard to pick up Loshen Kastim. They're related languages. So therefore, sure, that you can pick up in 3 years. But over here, when you're dealing with any other learning that you might not be so familiar with, it takes 5 years to really get good at it. The Idach, where's
today we know what they spoke. I mean, we
have Kastim is Aramaic, no? It's Aramaic.
Kastim is Aramaic.
Yeah. The Idach, so what were, yeah, that's, yeah. The Idach, what would Rav Yossi answer to that? What would Rav Yossi answer to that? The answer is he would say the other way around. Shining Hilchot Avodah to Zakipin. It's different when it comes to the Halacha to the Avodah. The details of how to take apart and put up the Mishkan and to sing and then so on and so forth. That's much harder than the regular kind of stuff. Regular stuff, he says, is like Sefer Lashon Kastim, all it takes is 3 years. But something exceptionally difficult, like the details of the Avodah, which are very complicated, that you need 5 years. So basically, they're arguing which one you should learn from. Not which one is more difficult, but which one you should learn from. Are regular run-of-the-mill studies of Toto or whatever more similar to Sefer Lashon Kastim, or are they more similar to that book? Fine. Turn it up on them. We learn it upright. So more on this topic of ages, as far as Kohenim and Levim. Kohen Mishayabi Shtei Tzairif Ad Sheyazkin Koshel Avodah. A Kohen is Koshel to do the Avodah from when he has Shtei Tzairif, because only then is he a Gadol. Until, and by the way, that means Shtei Tzairif after he's 13. Worth pointing out, by the way, for most purposes, and for many purposes in Halacha, we say once a boy is by mitzvah, we assume that he had Shtei Tzairif. That's called Chazaka de Rava. It's something that Rava says in Nidya. Once a boy is 13, or a girl is 12, we assume that they have Shtei Tzairif. So therefore, for things that are bun on that work, for things that are Isa, like we're talking about over here, no, you would actually have to check them. We learned it in Yevamos in connection with Chalitza. So here, yeah. Okay. So once he has Shtei Tzairif, he's kosher for Avodah. Ad Sheyazkin, until he gets old, kosher Avodah. Umumin posen though, however, Mumin at any time during that period passed away. Ben Levi, ben Shloshim, ben Hamishim, kosher Avodah. A Levi is kosher for the Avodah only from 30 to 50, as it says in the Pesukim. But the Shonin posen though, so the age before or after that passed away. But when does that apply? Only in the oil moed that was in the Midbar, because the Levim have to be carrying it. Abel b'shilo, uvei se lomim, ein nifstolen el b'kol. But in Shiloh, in the Beth Mikdash, the only thing that would pass the Levi from doing any avoda is if his voice is no good anymore, if his voice is changing because of age or whatever. Not just we're talking about when he's a boy and his voice is changing. We're talking also when a person gets old and their voice cracks or whatever. And by the way, even then that Rambam says that fine, he can't be a singer at that point, but he could still do the other avodah. He could still be one of the shoyarim. He could still be one of the gatekeepers. No, you can't switch while you have a certain job. You can't switch in the middle. But like this, where he's disqualified from being a mashoyar anymore than he could. Amar Rav Yossi Maitra. So Rav Yossi says, where do you see a pasuk that expresses that idea that the levim have to have good voices and otherwise they're hostile? Because the pasuk says, It was like one choir, like one voice for the ones who were playing the trumpets and for the ones who were singing, lashmiya koil echad, to make one voice heard. So vayhi ke'echad implies that everybody could join. It doesn't matter the age. But lashmiya koil echad implies that they have to be able to modulate their voice, that it should seem like one voice, that they should be able to match the pitch and whatever of the other people's voices, so that it sounds good together. So it sounds like one voice rather than a lot of discordant voices. Yeah. So once the guy's too old,
no, that's a whole lot of stuff.
Doesn't mean necessarily. Maybe it means one of them could be a tenor, one of them could be a bat, or it could be a bass or whatever. Yeah. It just means, in other words, that it has to be that it blends together, not like one is singing on a different key, for example. Ad Sheyazkin Ad Kama. Okay, so we said before that Kohenim are kosher for the Avodah only until they get old. What does it mean? At what point is considered old? We said before that age in and of itself doesn't pass for them. What it means is Amar Abila, Amar Abchanina Ad Sheyazkin. Once he starts shaking, once his hands or feet shake from old age, then he's already possible for the Avodah.
What, the Parkinson's disease?
Yeah, it could be like Parkinson's, but it could just be old age. Sometimes, yeah, a person can't control that. Okay. But now the Gemara is going to bring up another din that also has to do with age. That also there's a difference between a younger person and an older person. Shnanhasam, we learn in a Mishnah in the Kavaris like this. Bal keri shetova, or the bal keri, tovel, to make himself tar, the loy hito mayim, but he didn't urinate before he went to tovel. Later on, the lichshayasir, later on, the first time he urinates, tomei, he will become tomei all over again. Why? Because not necessarily did all the shechmat zera come out. Some of it might have been left, and then when he urinates the next time, then it'll come out together with the urine. And he'll be tomei, he'll be a bal keri all over again. However, Rabbi Yossi says not necessarily as a blanket statement. It depends. B'chola uvezaken tomei, if he's sick or if he's old, where therefore he doesn't have as much bodily strength, so therefore, in other words, the outflow of shechva zera is not as powerful, the muscular contractions are not as strong, so therefore some of it might be left. B'yelad uvebari tahor, but if he's younger, yelad doesn't mean a kid, it just means younger, and he's healthy, then he would still be tahor because the muscles will be strong enough to expel all the shechva zera in the first place, and then there won't be any left for the next time of year. Ad kama, where do we draw the line? Where do we draw the line between young and old? Amar of Ilo, Amar of Hanina, Kol Sha'omid al Ragle Achas, V'cholos min Olay V'noyol min Olay. If he still has the strength to be able to stand on one foot and take off his shoe and put on his shoe and tie it, then it means he's still strong enough that the muscles over there are strong enough to expel all the shechat zera. If not, then not.
How many young guys could do that?
That's a good question, Anna. Well, Omru Olav al Rav Chanina, so now he's sort of Ila said this in the name of Rav Chanina. And they said about the same Rav Chanina himself, Shoya ben Shmoinim Shana, he was 80 years old, and still, Bahaya Omru Aragla Achas Bacholus Min Olav and Neom and Olav, he still had this ability at 80, he still had the strength to be able to do that. So that's the point, in other words. Young and old is not necessarily based on your birth certificate.
Yeah,
it's based,
or not.
Yeah, not healthy, but strong, basically.
Well,
that's not the same thing. I mean, if an old person is not necessarily unhealthy, they're just, their body is starting to fall apart or whatever. Fine. Omer of Chanina, sort of Chanina says, how did I manage to do that? How do I have the ability to be so strong at 80? Chamin, the shemen, shatachasni imi, the alduti, the hot water and the oil that my mother anointed me with when I was younger, hain omduli be esiknusi, those stood by me when I was older, that they still, I kept my strength as a result of the good care that my mother took of me when I was younger. I guess you bathe them in hot water and smear his skin with oil, yeah. Yeah, I guess that, yeah.
That must be a fact.
Okay.
They wanted people to know.
Okay, good point.
That must be a fact.
What? Okay. I mean, Mishnah Nuakiv, not necessarily with this particular thing work now, but whatever. There is a verse on it that I've seen that among other things, I think it comes from the Munkacher, I don't remember for sure, but anyway, that Chamin v'Shemin referred to on the one hand the Chayus that a person has in Torah, and on the other hand, Shemin, the Chochma of Torah, that a person realizes it's Chochma of Torah, Shalakadosh Baruch Hu. So it's not just a Gashmiyistic thing, it has a Gashmiyistic meaning as well, as Rav Chanina is saying. The fact is he was able to stand on one foot, etc. But it also has a deeper Ruchmiyistic meaning that when a person develops a Chayus and a respect for the Chochma of Torah, Shalakadosh Baruch Hu, the Torah, when he's younger, then it'll stay with him to old age as well.
But that's not a clone of Chanina.
No,
his mother did it.
Okay, so the mother is all I'll teach her Torah Chachmas Mecha, Torah Chachmas Parati.
Okay.
All right. Tananabon. Okay, so another thing having to do with age. Tananabon, Nismalei Zkonei, once the person's beard is filled out, doesn't necessarily mean, by the way, a long beard per se, it just means it's filled out as much as it would normally be filled out on this particular person. Roy le'otit shliach tibur v'leirid l'knaat teva v'lita es tatav. He is Roy, at that point, to be appointed a shliach tibur, and to go daven by the Amud, and to duchen, if he's a kohen. Now, what do we mean by that? Well, first of all, there's a lot of details in this, and we'll start it today, and we'll probably continue it tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem. But Shliach Tzibur usually means somebody who davens by the Amud. So in that case, what's the difference between that and layered with Nasova? So Rashi actually... Hold on. Okay, hold on. Yes, also on the face of it, we know that. Hold on. Let's talk about this. So first of all, Rashi defines over here Shliach Tzibur means different than it usually means. Rashi says, for example, he can be the Baal Tekea. We're talking about for somebody to be the Baal Tekea, or to be the Shliach based in to put people in Cherem, or to be appointed a Parnas Alat Tzibur. So therefore, for those things, you have to wait until Mismale is coming. So that's shliach tzibur, and then later the b'chnat shaver is something else to daven by the yom.
Otherwise, somebody who's shaving, that can be.
Okay. You make a good point. However, actually, in Shulchan Aruch, it's true that person who shaves, there's other problems with them. However, in Shulchan Aruch, it does say rishonim bring. That doesn't mean that he actually has to have his beard filled in. It means once he reached the age where you would be expected for it. A regular person, their beard fills in until they're about 20, and then that's it. By that time, it's pretty much as filled in as it's going to be for life. In other words, think of it, a kid. A kid starts growing a little scraggly hair, and eventually, over time, it fills out. Each person fills out a different amount. But once a person reaches 20, it typically has reached its full growth. That's what we mean. So when the person reaches 20, even if for whatever reason he hasn't grown a beard, that he's still growing to be appointed. Anyway, so Rashi understands Shliach Tzibur as not the same thing as Leir B'Knat Tzibur, that they're two different things. You have other Mepharshim who understand that they mean, including Tosfos in Megillah, who understand that it means same thing, that it means the same thing, and therefore they talk, and their Tosfos over here also talks about what it is like this. As soon as he has Shtei Tzairas, he can daven by the Amud. However, to be appointed as a regular Shliach Tzibur, that it should wait until Yismali's son. So in Shulchan Aruch, it explains like this, to be exact. What it means is, and Alter Rebbe discusses it in a little more detail, it means like to be a regular, to have a regular schedule of a chazan, it wouldn't be covered as tzibur, right, to have somebody who's too young that his beard hasn't filled out, that he's below 20, in other words. So if it's back dry, if it's an occasional thing for him to daven by the Amud, sure, once he has Shtei Tzairas, he can do that. But as a regular basis, which means, and it doesn't even mean a regular basis like every day. It could even be like once a week or whatever, but as long as there's like a fixed schedule that he's going to be doing at a certain time. An oval is a different matter. I mean, maybe he has a chiyuv. That would probably be different. So they were doing it because of a chiyuv. They were doing it. I don't know, it's a good point, actually. I didn't think about that, but I don't know. I didn't see anything about that particular detail. And Shulchan Aruch, but Masters, that's a little different. He's doing it in the side of Chiyuv of Kibbud Av for his father, not just yet. Okay, but anyway, to daven by the Amud, occasionally that he can do even below 13. As far as Noseh's Kafa, similarly, Tosfos points out that there's also a distinction over here. And Shulchan Aruch mentions altogether, when it comes to Noseh's Kafa, there's a three-way distinction. A kid below Bar Mitzvah can't duchen by himself, only together with adults. That's what you see. On the Yom Tovim, the kids go up and duchen with their father. Once he's Bar Mitzvah, but doesn't yet have Nismali Skonoi, he could duchen by himself, but again, only by Krai Ba'alma, only as an occasional thing. So like by us in Chol Tzvaris, where we only duchen on Yom Tovim anyway, that's considered by Krai Ba'alma. But for example, in Eretz Yisrael, where they duchen every day, that he couldn't do. On an occasional basis, he could do it, but not on a regular basis. Once he's Nismali Skoner, once he's old enough to be Nismali Skoner, then he could duchen by himself every day. So that's what it means, off the Shliach Tzibur v'Leir B'Knat Tzibur v'Leir B'Knat Tzibur. Okay. Fine. Okay, so we'll continue tomorrow, that's the end. Well, main psychosha is really going back to the Avodah, so we'll deal with that. That's a different thing. So the Rambam writes that they can't sing anymore, but if they want, they can join the Shoyagim, they can join the gatekeepers. In other words, if the lady just wants to say, you know what, I'm tired, I want to retire, then fine, you know, okay, give them the hate, I guess. But if you, but yeah. But.
A peacock, is that a kosher?
We for sure don't have a mitzvah on it. Rather,
I'll tell you why. I heard it from my son.
Yeah.
He called me from London.
Mm-hmm.
He knows the Talmud Chacham there.
Yeah.
He went to Leeds. You know what Leeds
is? I know where Leeds is. Okay. Yeah.
There's a shul there.
Mm-hmm.
He went there for three nights in a row. By Mincha, yeah?
Yeah.
By Mincha.
No.
That Tishak came. And he bowed down his head, and after Marav he flew away.
Okay.
One, 3 days in a row. Wow. Yeah?
Okay, you know.
3 days in a row.
Interesting.
What?
However,
you know why?
Yeah.
Because the Rav, the Balsilla for 40 years was there, and the two guys threw him out. The embarrassment threw him out. The first guy threw him, one guy threw out, he died the next day. The other one died a few days later.
Okay, I don't know.
And that teacher came. My son saw the picture. He came from Leeds, and he went to Rabbi Rabinowitz. What's his name? The Yalla Rebbe. He showed him the picture. He gave a share. The rabbi, one of the rabbis goes away. He gave a share. Dafyayim. And he was telling you, my son wants to see the picture where the peacock is with head down, right opposite the shul, And when he finished Maghrib,
okay,
he flew away.
Okay. First of all, Ein Lanu Esek in his stars. Peacocks are going to shul bowing or whatever. That doesn't have anything to do with whether they're kosher. As far as the actual question, you're asking a substantive question. Whether they're kosher, I looked over here. Is peacock kosher? The first thing that comes up is sometimes Chabad Darur. The fact is we don't have a third on them. Somebody commented in comments over there that Kehillas in Italy used to eat it. However, then they answered over there on Chabad.org. First of all, there's nobody alive nowadays who continues that mitzvah. And second of all, there were at least two different species that were called peacock, and therefore we can't be sure whether the one that the Italian Kehillas ate is the same one that we saw. Now I'm looking on Chabad.org. There's a short article of your peacock kosher. So we'll talk more about it in the third paragraph when we talk about kosher birds, but yeah. Anyway, Ein Lanu Esek in the Sardis, there may be a peacock bowing down in shul over there. It has nothing to do with whether it's kosher or not. Yeah.